Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Ched Amud Aleph, four lines down. Gemara is discussing the two opinions about the qualification of our Mishnah. We had the opinion of Rav Huna that it only works in a case where he says, Harini Nazir Ayom, Harini Nazir Limachar. Then there's a Chalut for both Nizirut and they take effect. And then Shmuel says, even if he says Harini Nazir Ayom, Harini Nazir Ayom, Nizirut is Chala on him. So that's their Machloket. Until now, we've generally brought questions down that challenge the position of Rav Huna, because we see that there are a number of Mishnayot, including our own Mishnah, that seem to indicate otherwise, and that if you just said Arein Nazir Yom, Arein Nazir Yom, it would be sufficient to create two Nidrei Nizirut. So now, once again, Meitiv Rav Amnuna, Nazir Lahazir, Mikan Shen Nizirut Chala Nizirut. So here is the Gzeret HaKatuv, which we discussed yesterday, which is the source for the fact that Nizirut is Chala Nizirut, and the question of whether it applies to other Nidarim we'll speak about in a minute. But Nazir Lazir teaches you that you can have two Nidre Nizirut take effect. Shechol, because I would have thought, Halo Dinu, isn't it a Kal V'chomer? Uva Ma Shvua Chamura, when it comes to a Shvua, which is more Chamur, Ein Shvua Chala Al Shvua. We do not have a principle that a shvua is chal on other shvua, which, again, was explicit in our Mishnah, but also we've seen a number of times the idea that a person is mushva v'omed mihar Sinai, but as soon as a person has one shvua, you can't layer another shvua on top of it. Nizirut kala lo koshekein, then certainly by this less stringent than nizirut, then a koshekein, that it shouldn't be able to layer one on top of the other. Tomalomar nazir lahazir. That's what the Gzeret HaKatuv comes to teach you. Despite the fact that it is less chamur, it still has the ability to stack or layer a nizirut on top of a nizirut. Mikan, shen nizirut chala al nizirut. That's the source for the fact that a nizirut is chala al nizirut. Okay, the Gemara will discuss all the parts of the Braita. Why is shua mor chamura than nizirut? And number two is, what's the case here? And that's what the Gemara has. Hey chidami, what is the case? If he formulates it as, I'm a Nazir today, I'm a Nazir tomorrow, ha kra bayo, then you need a posuk to explain that to us? In that instance, it's obvious that the nether will take effect because you gave it room to be chal. In that case, the first 30 days belong to the first nether. The subsequent one day, which was the extension of the 30 days of the second one, will be for the chalut of the second nizirut. And since the nizirut is chal for one day, it expands into a 30-day chalut nizirut. So over there, it's obvious that it should take effect. Why would you need a pasuk to tell you that if the first neder took effect and the second neder took effect, that you have two nidrei nizirut? That's a byproduct or an outcome of the fact that it was chal. In that case, when you start counting from the second day, you'll end up with the 30th day being one day after the first nizirut, and there is a chalut nizirut. But rather, the case where you would need a pasuk to teach you that is where you layer the two nidrei nizirut on top of each other. Biktani, nizirut, chalut nizirut. And here you see that a nizirut is chalut nizirut. So Mar says, lo, hachum ma'eskinan, Shikon shekibel alav nizirut v'vatachat. The same answer that we gave at the end of yesterday's daf, that he did it simultaneously. And similar to the concept of ein isur chalal isur, but if the shnei yisurim come v'vatachat, since they are happening simultaneously, that gives them the right or the ability to be chal. They're not competing against each other in a sequential manner. They're simply happening simultaneously, and therefore they take effect. Umay chumra dishvua min neder. What is the stringency that shvua has over neder? Now we know that shvua has stringencies over nedarim. We have a bunch of mishnayot that teaches that, but we also know the other way around, which is a neder has certain chumrot over a shvua. Ilem mishum dechaylo kila davar shembo mamash. If you're going to say to me because that it takes effect even on something that's intangible, neder nami chamur shekein chala lemitzvah kirishut. Just like we saw before, that neder can take effect to block a mitzvah versus a shvua, which cannot take effect to block a mitzvah. Now, we saw the examples of that in the Mishnah. Also, when we get to the Masechet Nazir, we'll also see the fact that The Gemara over there says that Nizirut is Tziya Tzmo Min Hayayin, and therefore he is exempted from Kiddusha V'Avdalta, from Kiddush and Avdallah, through his Neder Nizirut. So there you see that it's Oker, overrides a Mitzvah Min HaTorah. Question mark about whether that really is a Mitzvah Min HaTorah, and how the Mishonim deal with it over there. But that could be what the Gemara is saying over here, or it could be simply just saying the previous Mishnah where we saw that the neder takes effect when it comes more generally about nedarim and not about nizirut in particular, that nedarim take effect on a mitzvah, but shvot do not. Ela, b'shum tichtiv ba b'shua lo yinakeh. Because by shua, the pasuk says lo yinakeh. He would not be exonerated, he would not be relieved of the punishment. Now, number one, lo yinakeh is not written by a shvat bitui, rather by a shvat shav. So how it comes over to a shvat bitui or a shvat shav is not clear, but what we would say is that generally we see this is a mare mokom, that shvuot in general are a much more chamor form of expression. And you see that by the fact that by certain shvuot already tells you lo yinakeh. What lo yinakeh means is obviously something min hashamayim, that lo yinakeh. But generally, the way to view it is that lo yinakeh means that even after he gets malkot, he still will not be relieved of the punishment. Generally, when one gets malkot, that relieves the individual of the punishment. They've now received their punishment, and that's their kapara. Another hand, lo yinakeh means you will not be cleansed of this avera simply by receiving malkot, or the expression itself just tells you or reflects on the Chumrat HaYisur, the fact that it is expressed in such a manner as Lo Yinakeh, instead of just a regular lav. But either way, it shows you that Shua is more Chamor, and that would have given us a Hava Mina to say that Shua should override another Shua, should layer on top of another Shua. The fact that it doesn't makes us wonder why it would happen by a Nizirut or by a Neder, and that's why we have the Gzeret HaKetuv, Nazir LaHazir. Okay, the Brian says, Yerachum HaYiskinan Shkivil HaBet Nizirut Bevat Achad. And that's what the pasuk comes to teach you, that you are a nazir now for 60 days. The Ran says, isn't that pshita? If you say they do it bevat achat, what's the question? Again, you go back to the original question, which is, what do I need a pasuk to teach me that if you take it bevat achat, that it works? So the Ran says, you might have had a havamina, that it would be 60 days sequentially. Meaning that it wouldn't be two 30-day nizirut, but rather when you say two nizirut, it was as if you were saying, I'm taking a nizirut of 30 plus 30, which is the equivalent of one nizirut of 60 days. Right? You'd only need one korban and one shaving, one completion. The Gzeret HaKetuv tells you that these are two separate chalot nizirut, and therefore you have one 30-day nizirut, and then a second 30-day nizirut, and that's the kamashmana, that's the chiddush of the pasuk. Then, on top of that, the Ran over here explains why he thinks that the other shita of the Mishnah is incorrect. We mentioned that the Ran and the Balei HaTosafot suggest that our Mishnah is unique to a Nazir. It's a din in Nazir and not a general din in Nidarim. And therefore, the Pasuk that's brought is a Pasuk from Nazir. And the reason the Mishnah gave an example of Neder Chalal Neder as Nizirut is because that's the only place that it works. On the other hand, the Rambam and the Ritva also follows in the same direction, suggested that Neder Chala Neder has broader implications than Nizirut Chala Nizirut. And that is the fact that you will get two sets of Malkot. That if you violate the Nidarim, it's Chayav HaKol Achat VeAchat. That they both take effect simultaneously. And therefore you'll get two sets of Malkot if you violate those Nidarim during that period. And it's not unique to Nizirut. It applies to Neder Chala Neder as well. The Ran over here brings four reasons as to why he thinks that that perush is dochak, why that perush is difficult. It says, Dimkein, Lamalei Tana Mitnita, Mitnei Haidina B'Nizirut, Litnei B'Nidarim. The most obvious of which is, why did the Mishnah bring the example of Nizirut and not an example of Nidarim? Number two is, to have a Sakadatl, Demisha Nazar Shte Nizirut, Bomer, Reni Nazir Ayom, Reni Nazir Lamachar, Dimkein, Ma Mana Itarishona, Hello, Kishamana Tarishana, Mana Gameta Shniya. The Shneya Minyana Chadlahem. So what does that mean? That if you don't need the first one, then the second one counts. You are counting them simultaneously according to this version. According to this version, the Nidarim overlap. and you'll get punished twice for violating the neder, and it means that they are actually being counted at the same time. So why do you need a hatarat nidarim in order to allow the second one to be counted? It's being counted anyway. Od my altalo shnia brishona, hayin shnia chala l'nyan shi machal anavim b'toch yemeni ziroto chayav shtayim. Number two is, the second one takes effect. What do you mean it takes effect? The only effect that the second neder nizirut has is to make you chayav shtayim. It does not really ever become a neder nizirut according to this opinion. And number four, v'al darmina b'ach tiyuv t'achritei ilayim adarinu ha'yizir ha'yom harinu nizir ha'machar krab bayo. That's a simple explanation. Bitmiya. My kushya. Enachinami t'krab bayo l'chayvu shtayim b'kolel. To teach you that you can have shtayim b'kolel, da'abish v'old, ki'ayavaneinu chayav l'achat. Elevade perusha kama yikar. That my perush, my explanation is the right explanation. So he gives here four different reasons as to why he thinks that the other perush is incorrect. Rav Soloveitchik in the Rishima Chiurim gives three different ways that the Rambam could respond to the claims of the Ran over here, and that why the questions over here are not necessarily definitive or strong against the Rambam. One way to explain it is that the din of the Rambam applies to Nidarim and not to Nizirut. All the questions of the Ran over here are based on our sugya that focuses on Nizirut. And maybe in Ochanami, the Rambam will agree that by Nizirut, it's different than Nidrei Yisur. And that only Nidrei Yisur have this din of getting two sets of Malkiot versus the Nizirut, which we're talking about the Chalut of the second Nizirut. And why would you do that, or why would you say that? It's because Shonei Nizirut min Nidrei Yisur, Alma. Nizirut and Nidarim are different. That's to give the Gavra, the person, individual, make him into a Nazir. It's no real Chetza of Nazir. And evidence of the fact is that when you do Hadpasa by a Nazir, you're not Matpis any Chefetz, you're not Matpis Yayin B'Yayin, you're Matpis the Gavra, the individual himself, with another Gavro, with something else that is Nadur. Shematpis, Noder, Areni, Kazeh, Umatpis, Benazir, Shover, Lefanav. That's how he creates Nazirut. Vilu, Kishmi, Umatpis, Yayin, Biyayin, Nazir, Ainat Paso, Chala. Vish, Aini, Sere, Nazirut, Chalim, Bechepsa, Shal Yayin. It's not that you're making the Yayin into something that's Asur. You're making the individual into a Kdushat Nazir. So therefore, it would make sense that you can't extend or add on Kdushat Nazirut in the individual. Because once you take one Neder Nizirut, you've already attained the status of Kedushat Nazir, and to layer on top of that makes no sense. So then you would have to explain it like the Ran, which is that it's talking about the Chalut and Nizirut sequentially. On the other hand, when it comes to a Neder, or a plain Neder, we would say that you can layer on top of it, because there the focus is on the Chepza Shel Isur. By a Chepza Shel Isur, you can layer on Isurim. That's, conceptually you could do that, and we know that from Isur Chalal Isur. That you have such a concept. Then he brings a second approach, which is Amnam Nitan Chalek Ben Isur De Bal Yishateh De Bal Isur Bal Yachel, which is that a Isur De Bal Yishateh Yain Chal Mishum Chilul Kedushat Gavra De Nazir. Why is one in violation of drinking wine when he's a Nazir? Not because he's drinking wine, but because the drinking wine is Mechalel his Kedushat Nazirut. B'chem Nazar Shtei Pa'amim Kevin Shechalal Rak Kedushat Nazir Achat. There's only one Kedushat Nazir, then you can only get Malkot for one violation. I mean, if you drink wine, all you've done is bin Mechalel the Kedushat Nazir. And since, as we explained before, the Kedushat Nazir is only once. The person can only be Kedushat Nazir once. You can't have double Kedushat Nazir. And therefore, when you violate the Nazirut by drinking wine, you can only be Chayav one set of Malkot. On the other hand, when it comes to Bal Yachel, you can say that it's Talui B'Maseh Neder. That's similar to what the Rambam Shita is, and unlike the Ran, that it's about keeping your word. And in this instance, keeping your word, you can make multiple statements which you will have to uphold. And therefore you can be chayav multiple times in this case. The last possibility, which is a derech shlishit that he says in our sugya, is because she'ein neder yisur chal agav neder yisur mishim adina kalish and in yisur chal yisur. That's the possibility, that it's the regular in yisur chal yisur. Lumat zot. Nizirut, chala nizirut, ben, the inyan kiyum, malot hayamim, ben, the inyusurei nizirut. Kushnei dinei zirut, tuluim zeh bazeh. Because since we have Nizirut. Even the Ran agrees that when you take two Nidre Nizirut, you actually have to count twice. You have to count two sets of Nizirut. The fact that you do that can also draw along with it, or drag along with it, the fact that the Zerim also get multiplied. The fact that you have a Chalut Nizirut in some effect, which is that the Nizirut takes effect that you have to count twice, then that will also drag along with it the Zerim of Nizirut. And that's why you would have to, or that's why you would get Malkot twice. Whereas on the other hand, by Nidarim, where there's no effectiveness of the Neder, when you take it, doesn't force you to do anything twice, then it has the regular rules of any Sukhala Yisur, and it doesn't take effect at all. And so therefore you could explain over here why Nizirut would get you two sets of Malkot, and the opposite of what we said originally, and Nidarim would get you not two sets of Malkot, is because Nizirut has a way to become effective. Nidarim have no way to become effective because they need Yisur Chala Yisur. On the other hand, Nizirut has a way to become effective, not necessarily in the Yisurim, but in the fact that you have to count twice. But once you have it become effective, then you can also have it become Yisur Chala Yisur, and that would generate the two sets of Malkiot over here. Alright, so those are three different approaches that you could take to explain why maybe the Ran's criticism over here is not necessarily definitive or undermines the position of the Rambam by giving these different explanations, the first of two of which help to understand why Nizirut is different than Nidarim, and why most of the questions of the Ran would fall away. The last one focuses on Nizirut being different than Nidarim, and that would still leave open the possibility that some of the questions of the Ran would still apply. Right, then the Ran says something amazing. He says, Hilkach Natinan Dechiechi Dein Shwa Chalal Shwa Lechaivu Bet Kach En Neder Chalal Neder. So the Ran says, conclusion halacha, which is his position, that just like ain shvo chal shvua, ain neder chal neder, with the exception of nizirut, where it will take effect. Then he answers on top of that. The chitana yesh neder betoch neder, davka limnot shtei nizirut hu de amrinan. It only has to do with the fact that you have to count two nidre nizirut, not that there is one chal on the other. Kedektivna miu, how milta adife nidarim bibishvuot. But let me tell you one thing, that Nidarim have an advantage over Shvuot. So Nidarim chalim ala Shvuot. A Neder can be chal on a Shvuah, vein Shvuah chalal ala Nidarim. So here he speaks of an interesting idea, that a Neder, if you already have a Shvuah in place, a Neder can be chal on a Shvuah. On the other hand, if you have a Neder in place, a Shvuah cannot be chal on the Neder. A great example of that is the Mitzvot HaTorah. Because when we say that you are Mushba v'omid mihar Sinai, over there, we said that a neder can still be chal on that chetzah that you're going to utilize for the mitzvah. So that means that if a person has a shvu'ah in place, that he will not eat this loaf of bread, he can then take a neder that says that this loaf of bread is asur. Because you add on an isur chetzah in the face of an isur gavra, that will work. But the other way around will not work. And he says, v'vaday, ki yechid another adavar mitzvah chayal nami ha-shvu'ah, shemitzvah ushvot shtehem isur gavrahem, that's another interesting. So a person who says, Shlo yuchal kikar zu, person says, I will not eat this kikar. Then v'chazar v'asro ala b'konam, v'achalo chayav shtayim. If you chayav twice. V'chay midim in the batel, ein chalin, v'kayim lo kosher kein. To be batel a mitzvah, a neder can be chal. To block a mitzvah, that's what we saw in the previous Mishnah, then he feels that certainly you can put a neder in place that will only corroborate or assist in the same direction as the Shvuah. And therefore you'd be chayav twice. And he says, V'lekele meimar, do not say that, hey, the Isur chetzah the nederim chayla Isur gavra the Shvuot, just like a Isur neder takes effect on a Shvuah, hachanami Isur gavra the Shvuot lechala Isur chetzah the nederim, should work just the opposite way as well. Mishum did the nedarim keiched dibu isur chetza isur gavra nami itbuhu. Because when it comes to an is nedarim, the Ran says a big chiddush here, that a neder is both an isur chetza and has some sort of manifestation of isur gavra. Because any time you make a chetza into an isur, then the gavra is faced with the isur of lo yachel devaro, which is that he will violate his, or profane his nether. That's a mitzvah in the Torah, which is a shvuah in the Torah. By love, that lota say is an isur gavru. Kechol lo satesh be Torah. Hilkach eim akom l'shvuah shetukol al nidarim. The Ran says something very interesting. Not only is it clear that a Shvuah will not be chala on a neder? Because we don't find any example of that. But even if you wanted to argue logically that it should be the case, he says, I can show you that's not the case, because embedded in every neder is also a Shvuah. Whether it's the Rambam's Shita, that you have to uphold your word, or it's the Ran's Shita, that if you do something to violate that neder, then you're in violation of Bayachel because of the Maseh Isur that you do. Either way, you're governed by a law in the Torah, which is a Shvuah. The Torah itself gives you a Shvuah, and that's why the Shvuah cannot be Chal. Number of Chidushim that the Ran adds on over here that are very interesting and in perspective. First of all, on Neder, the Neder includes an Isur Gavra as well. And number two, that you can bolster a Shvuah through a Neder, and if you violate it, then you actually be in violation of both the Shvuah and the Neder. Okay, now the Gemara continues, Shvuah shlo achal, v'achal enu chayav elachat. This is our Mishnah's example that a Shvuah is not chal al a Shvuah. Omar Rova, im nishal arishona, shnia chal alav. So Rova says something here, which is very interesting, which is that if he gets a tarat Shvuah for the first one, then the second one will take effect. Mimai, how do you know that's true? Midalok tani, because our Mishnah does not say, enu elu achat. Or some other version you could see here in the Bach, he gives alternates for the version of the Gemara. Biktani, enu chayav ela achat. So why doesn't our Mishnah say that he's only chayav once? As Tosfot points out over here, the diuk of the Gemara out of the Mishnah, which is avagav de kama mekamot shoneh, enu chayav ela achat. That's a regular literary style of a Mishnah, nothing unusual over here. So why is the Gemara being midayek out of it? Avagav de lek ela achat tchiyuva, mekom mekom, hecha de ika limite. In a place where you could have made a mistake, the fact is that over here, it's somewhat ambiguous what it means. And the fact that the Mishnah used that Lashon shows you that it's intentionally trying to tell you something about it. So even though the Lashon in of itself is not significant because it's used all over the place, but nevertheless, in a place where you could have come to a different conclusion, then it becomes significant. And the fact that the Mishnah wrote it that way shows you that it means one chiyuv and not two chiyuvim. Rav Kahu, the late La. The reason that you only chayav once is because there's no room for the second Shvuah to take effect. Ki mitchel al chaverta, but when you take a tarat Shvuah for the first one, you make room for the second one to take effect. Right, so that's exactly the way that it's described. It's porechet bavir, it's waiting in the wings to take effect. We would have thought, or you could have thought, without Rova, that the second Shvuah is null and void. Is gone. Because since it doesn't take effect, therefore, it has no meaning whatsoever. Rova comes in his mechadesh, that even though it has no chalut, shem shvuah immediately, it can in the future have a chalut shvuah. So now, based on that, you could argue that the second shvuah you get a malkot for, because the second shvuah is a shvuah shav. Despite the fact that it's a shvuah shav, if you make room for it, it will take effect. But that doesn't preclude your getting malkot, because at the time that you took it, it was a shvuat shav. On the other hand, there are others that suggest that it can't be a shvuat shav by the mere fact that it's waiting to take effect. And the fact that it's waiting to take effect shows you that it's not a shvuat shav, because it could have a manifestation. That possibility of having manifestation will not make it a shvuat shav. So here, the Rishonim argue as to whether you would get malkot for shvuat shav on this second shvuah.
Like hatara or...
It applies both nedarim and shvuot. The Rambam dissuades or discourages getting Hadarat Shvuot. But by Hadarat Nedarim, it's more accepted. And the Limud itself is found by Lo Yachel Devaro, which is really associated with Nedarim more than Shvuot. But it applies to both of them. You can get a Hadarat for both of them. Although, again, the Rambam dissuades one from doing it by Shvuot, that you do whatever's in your power to keep the Shvuot. But by Nedarim makes a less strong statement about that and says that the Hadarat is permitted. Lishna Achrina, Chiyuvo Deleka, Hashvayika. The other way to express it is that there is no Chiyuv, meaning that there's no obligation for the Shvuah that you will not get Malkot for violating it. Hashvayika. But the Shvuah is in pace. And that's what it means, Inu Ala Chayav Achat. You only Chayav once, but there still is a Shvuah that took effect. Now, it took effect, but it's meaningless, the fact that it took effect, unless you remove the first Shvuah. What is the halachic ramification of that? Look at the Rova. Then the second one comes to effect. It's not clear here what the nafkamina between the two lishonot is. In the end, they seem to have the same effect, which is that they're not effective to obligate you originally, but they will take effect if you get rid of the first one. There are those who want to point out that there is one interesting difference, which is that if you think the first Shabbat takes effect immediately, and it's just in abeyance in terms of the obligation, it might be that you could get Hatarat Shvua immediately. Because one is not allowed to engage the Chacham to be Matir the Shvua unless the Shvua is effective. In the first instance, the Shvua is not effective until Hatarat of the first one. It's not Chal at all. It waits in the Avir and then it's Chal once you do the Hatarat Shvua. That means that you can't get a Hatarat Shvua for the second one until you've cleared the first one. On the other hand, according to the second Lashon, it is effective immediately. It's just held in abeyance in terms of the punishment. But that means you could get a Hatarah for both Shavuot immediately because they're both effective immediately. That might be one nafkamina between these two Lashonot. The other nafkamina might be if you violate the Shavua and then get a Hatarah afterwards. If you violate the Shavua and then get a Hatarah, in the first Lashon, you would not be Chayav because the Hatarah removes the first Shavua. And the second one only took effect after you violated the Shavua. Whereas by the second Lashon, both were effective immediately. Once you removed the first one, the second one was already effective. The Mafrei, all it did was open you to punishment. But that means you did violate the second Shavua when you did the Maaseh that violated the first Shavua. So those are two possible nafkaminot than these two Lishonot. Although there are many that think that there is no difference between the two Lishonot. Yad Gemara says, Lema Misayile. Let us say that this is a proof to him. Mishnah Dar Shnei Nizirot Umana Et Harishonah Vivrish Korban V'Nishal Ala Altolo Shnei Berishonah. Person that took a neder Nizirot, then he finished up the first neder Nizirot, then already took off the Korbanot for it. Then he did a Tarat Nidarim for the first Nizirot. The second one now takes the place of the first one. Gemara says, now that's not necessarily a proof. Why? Kagon Shekibel Alav Shnei Nizirot Mevat Achat. Could be a case where he took the two Nidre Nizirot simultaneously. And the reason that the second one is Chal is because they were both effective immediately, not because one's waiting in the background or the punishment's held in abeyance. It's simply because he took it simultaneously. And when you take something simultaneously, they go both can be Chal. Now, this is the same answer that Rav Huna gave for the explanation of this Mishnah above. Based on that, the Ran says here, Man de Misayle de Rovo, Hocho, Miha, whoever is bringing this proof to Rava, Al-Korchin ka Rav Huna Svirle, certainly holds like Rav Huna, because he's the one who says that Arina Nizira Yom, Arina Nizira Yom, does not work to create two Nidre Nizirot. Otherwise the Gemara should have given that example or that answer. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that answer shows you that they are subscribing to Rav Huna's position and they're giving the answer of Rav Huna, not the answer of Shmuel. And that's why the person bringing the proof to Rava answers in this fashion to show you that this is according to Rav Huna, not according to Shmuel. When we brought this before, he said, why does it work over here? Because of Bevat Achat. And the Gemara only brings that answer. It does not bring the other answer, which is Arani Nazir Ayom and Erzei Ayom would have worked. And that would have been sufficient. The fact that it doesn't bring that, it shows you it's a proof to Rav Huna's position. Or this person definitely supports Rav Huna's position. You could argue that he was just trying to say it L'divrei HaKol. By saying Bevat Achat, everybody would agree. But the Ran took that very seriously and notes that that supports the position of Rav Huna over the position of Shmuel. In the end, he says, "Lein alocha kaimelon to Rova. We hold like Rova. Nehi de adachia siate de shmaita. Even though the proof that we brought was not upheld, nevertheless, lo adachia, his position was never knocked off. We're just trying to bring a proof to him. We didn't. It's okay. The proof failed, but it doesn't mean that we change or we undermine his position at all." And the Mishnah over here, as well as the Mishnah and Shavuot, are supportive of his position. Right, next Mishnah. There are two very different approaches to this Mishnah. We'll explain them. Stam Nedarim Lachmir, Uperusham Lachel. Stam Nedarim, in a case where we're uncertain, we would take the path of being more Chamur. And that is generally because Nedarim are Deoraita. Or because our assumption is that when a person takes a neder, they're intending for the neder to take effect. And therefore, if we can interpret it in a way that it takes effect, we will interpret it in that manner. So for one of those two reasons, stam nedarim are the hachmir. Perusham la'akel is that their explanation is the kula. That will be the subject of the next Mishnah on Daf Chof. So we won't delve into it so deeply right now, but means that if someone gives an explanation that is plausible, that is the kula, we will accept that explanation. So what's the case? Kate said, what are the case of stam nidarim lachmir? Amar, hare alai ki basar meliach, ki yai nesech. He says that, I want this to be, and he uses that pasa, basar meliach, salted meat. Or ki yai nesech. Or he wants to make it with wine libations. That's what he uses for hadpasa. So now there are two possibilities how to interpret basar meliach or yai nesech. Im bishel shlamim, one, the girsan here is shlamim, or the other one is im bishel shamayim. Shel shamayim is easier because that means it's talking about a korban that's being brought in the mikdash. If you write shlamim, it's because shlamim have 2 days and one night to be eaten. It's the longest duration of a korban to be eaten. Therefore, they needed more salt to preserve it. Im bishel shamayim or shlamim nadar, asur. Im bishel avodat kochavim nadar, if he took it in the name of avodat kochavim, mutar. So if that pasa is an avodah zara, avodah zara is a davar asur, and therefore that pasa doesn't work. On the other hand, if he does it b'shem korbanot, then it does take effect because it's a davar ha nadur. Bim satam, if he didn't clarify, asur, then he is asur. The same would be true by yayin nesech. By yayin nesech, if it's b'shel shamayim, or it's attached to a shlamim that comes with nesachim, then it would be hatpasa b'davar nadur. On the other hand, if it's a kavodah zara, then yai nesach vazara is davar ha-asur. And that will tell us whether it does take effect or not take effect. If he didn't say anything, then it is asur. It's a confusing term because today yai nesach is only used in the context of avodah zara. But technically, yai nesach is a wine libation which happened both in the mikdash and in avodah zara. Now, how you explain this? Tosafot brings an interpretation that says, sheperish bishat nidro. That at the time of the neder, he explicitly said what he meant. That he explained it at the time of his neder. Which is, he says, Arei alai kibasar meliach shel shlamim. Or he says, Arei alai kibasar meliach shel avodah zara. So the Tosafot says, when he really, chadim ken lovi uperisham lakel shum chidush. What's the chidush of being perisham lakel? He's already mifaresh them in the neder itself. So what perisham lakel is left?
An ambiguity.
So according to the one explanation that the Tosafot brings at first and rejects, Rashi brings it as a second interpretation in his Perush, is that Stam Nadar Darim Lachmir is where you say that Arei Alai Kebasar Maliach or Arei Alai Kiyayin Nesech, then we will interpret it to the Chumrah side, which is the Stam Nadar Darim Lachmir. On the other hand, if it's a case where Perusham Lachel means that he explicitly stated that the Nadar here is Kebasar Maliach Shel Shlamim, okay, Basar Meliach Shel Avodah Zara. And that was what it means, Perusham Lakel. When he explicitly says it, then it's Lakel. And where he makes no statement, then it's Lachmir. That's one way to explain it. As you mentioned before, that's Pshita. And therefore, the Balei HaTosafot say, if I explicitly tell you why I took the Ned there, which is that I said it's Basar Meliach Shel Shlamir, Basar Meliach Shel Avodah Zara, why do you have to tell me Perusham Lakel? What's the Chiddush of telling me that Perusham Lakel? What you have to argue is, that even though this is not necessarily the primary way to say it, if you explain it, if you say it explicitly that way, that's the way it is. But because of that difficulty, the Ran, the Tosafot, the first day on Rashi, and the majority of the Rishonim in this case, they speak about this differently. And that is, V'chein yirah l'perish Rabbeinu Tam, Dari Olam shelo hotzi b'sfatayim, kim hay lishna. That he only said, kim basar maliach, o ki yayin nesech. Now when he says, ki yayin nesech, or kim basar maliach, then, if we ask him afterwards what he meant, and he says, well, I meant basar meliach shel shlamim, that's a plausible explanation of his neder, and we will accept it. If he said, I meant basar meliach shel avodah zarah, we will also accept that interpretation, because after the fact, when he tells us this information, both are plausible. It's like a 50-50 shot about what he's speaking about. Their word is used in both contexts, and therefore, when he explains to us after the fact, we believe that that was his intent, when he took the neder. On the other hand, if he takes the neder stam, which is the case anyway, he's already taken neder stam, but it means in this case that he took the neder and he says, either I don't remember what my intent was, or he says that I just wanted it to be interpreted according to what most people would say. In that case, we say stamam lachmir. Stam lachmir because either he doesn't know, so we'll assume that he was going to chumrah, or because he wanted it to be like what everybody else thinks and also go to Chumrah, because this person wanted a neder to take effect. And because of that, we'll go to Achmir. So those are the two main approaches to the Mishnah. which is either it's where he doesn't say explicitly what he meant, but then gives you the information after the fact. We believe them because these are plausible explanations. And when stam means that he doesn't have any explanation for it, and therefore we go to achmir. The other daya is that he explicates in the nether itself what he meant, what hadpasa he was using. And in that case, we know what he meant, and that's perusham lakel, because he was mefresh in the nether itself. Stam nanirin lachmir is where he doesn't explicate in the nether itself. And then we go to Achmir, where he doesn't define this information for us in the nether itself. Right, now, continues with more examples, which is, Harealai kecherim, if he says that this is like a cherim, im kecherim shel shamayim, asur. If cherim over me is cherim lashem, that he's dedicating it or donating it to Hekdesh, then it's asur, because then he's matpis b'davara nadur. Im kecherim shel kohanim, mutar. And then if it's dedicated to the kohanim, that's not called a davar nadur, a davar shel hekdesh, and therefore it is mutar. So, and there's Rosh says over here, afagav du charmei kohanim, mo'alim, even though by a cherem of a kohen, if you violate that cherem, you get isur me'ilah, achivoli de kohanim, until it goes to the kohanim, havishapir davar nadur, and it should be considered a davar nadur, mikom makom, stam charmei kohanim, mashma shekvar boli de kohen. Stam cherem kohen means that it's already reached the hands of the kohen. So when a person says cherem le kohanim, he doesn't think about something that's waiting to get to the kohen. He's thinking of an object that already reached the hands of the kohanim. The way Rashi explains it is because by cherem shel shamayim, which become kodesh, and they belong to kodesh bedek abayit, and they cannot be redeemed, because kol cherem kodesh kodeshim lashem, and there's no pidyon for them. There's no redeeming of them. The object is now dedicated to Hekdesh without any change. On the other hand, by the charmei kohanim, they are the money of the kohen. They basically become the monetary ownership of the kohen, and they're yotzei the chulin, the chol divrayim, when they come to the yad kohen, and therefore they're not considered to be a davar hanadur. Ve'im satam, if he didn't say anything, he didn't explain it, according to those that say that he's explaining it in the nether itself, or according to the majority of Rishonim that he's explaining it after the fact, and he doesn't have an explanation, satam asur. We assume that it meant cherem lashem. Harei alaikim maser. If he says that it should be at pasah b'maser, imke maser b'ema nadar, if he intended for maser b'ema asur, then it's asur, because maser b'ema, you count, and you're makdish, the tenth animal, so it's a davar nadur. Imke shel gaurin, if he's referring to the masrot, that are of the tfua, of the grains, then mutar. Then it's mutar, because as we saw before with regards to chuma, that maser is the same thing, that's considered to be a davar asur, not a davar nadur. The Ran Neshita Show says over here, because the maser be'ima is asur lakol, ad sheyekrivu matirav, but maser be'ima is asur to everybody until it gets on the mizbeach, versus the maser, which is permitted to certain parties, depending which party it is, but they're not everybody's asur and maser. That's one reason. The other possibility is the Balei HaTosafot, to say that maser is actually a matir and not an oser, because the isur is really tevel, and the maser is removing the shame tevel from the object, and it's being matir and not being oser. Or the view of the Raivud, that you can only make something into truma maser that is chayav in truma maser. And since you can only make something that's chayav into truma maser, it's not something that's a devar nadur. It's connected to the objects that are chayav in this particular need to be maser or to be truma. Whereas if it was grain that had no obligation, because it was already mufrash, you couldn't make it into maser, you couldn't make it into truma, and therefore it's not called the devar ha-nadur. Vim satam, again, if he doesn't explicate according to the second sheet on Rashi, or according to the other Rishonim, he doesn't remember what he intended, asur, that's the hachmir. Harei alai ki truma, again, by truma, im ki trumat alishka nadar, if he meant trumat alishka, then it's fine, because that is a davar nador. That's something that you're dedicating to the mikdash. Those are monies, like the makseda shekel that are being donated to buy korbanot from the mikdash. That's a davar nador. Therefore, it'd be asur. Vim shel goren. And again, if it's of the goren, it's mutar, for the same reasons ba maser, it will be by truma, that it will be considered a davar asur, not a davar hanador. Vim satam, once again, if he doesn't define it, it's asur, because we'll go to hachmir. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Meir. Stam truma biyuda asura begaloyo muteret. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no room for interpretation over here. If an individual takes a stam neder with regards to truma in Yehuda, he's definitely referring to the truma talishka, because that's the prevalent truma in Yehuda. The other explanation is not a really viable explanation. Now, if he said I intended for that, then fine. But if he doesn't give us that interpretation, we will not accept that as a plausible interpretation ourselves. Whereas, Bigalil Muteret, in Bigalil being Muteret, Shein Anshei Galil, Makirim Et Shumat HaLishka, because the people of the Galil don't know or do not, in their vernacular, call Truma the Trumat HaLishka. So in Yehuda, they use the term Truma to refer to Truma of Goren and Trumat HaLishka. So when a person uses that word Truma, then equally plausible explanations are Trumat HaLishka and Trumat HaGoren. And therefore, over here, when he does it Stam, we're going to go to Achmir and say it's Tzomet Trumat HaLishka. Then for the Galil, there's only one plausible explanation of the word Truma, and that's Trumat HaGoren. They do not call Truma of the Trumat HaLishka Truma Stam, they call it Trumat HaLishka. They will always add on the modifier, because there's no such thing as plain Truma, that means Trumat HaLishka. Stam Charamim Yehuda Mutarim. On the other hand, when it comes to Yehuda, the word Cherim that is used without any modifier refers to Charmei Kohanim. And therefore it's going to be Mutar, because the interpretation will always be that Cherim refers to Charmei Kohanim. B'galil Asurim, Shein Hashil Galil Markarim Et Charmei Kohanim. The Kohanim all live near the Mikdash area, they're in the area of Yehuda. So for them, the word Stam Cherim refers to the Cherim of Kohanim, and that would be Davar HaAsur, not Davar HaNadur, and it won't take effect. Whereas for the people of the Galil, there's only one Cherim, that's Cherim LaHashem. If you want to say Charmei LaKohanim, you would say Cherim LaKohanim. You wouldn't just say Cherim without any modifier, because they're not so prevalent in the Galil. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir in those two instances with regards to Truma and with regards to Charmei Kohanim, that Stam Truma in the Galil would only mean Trumat HaGoren, and therefore would not take effect. And with regards to Charmei Kohanim, Stam Cherim in the Yehuda is Charmei Kohanim. They don't really think about Cherim LaHashem unless it has that modifier of Hashem on it. And therefore their Nidarim would be Lakel in that case when it comes to Cherim in Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, Vatznan, don't we have a Mishnah that says Safek Nizirut Lakel? That when it comes to Nizirut, it's Lakel. And as we know, Nizirut is a subset of Nidarim. So how come we don't say Stam Nizirut Lachmir? There are two Tanaim. One Tana believes that it's Lachmir, one Tana believes that it is Lehakel. Titania, Makdish Chayato Ubehemto. Person who is Makdish, all of his animals, that's both his Chayot and his Behemot, Higdish et Akoi. Then included in that is the Koi. Rabbi Lez Omer, Lo Higdish et Akoi. He was not successful at being Makdish the Koi. The Ran over here says it's a case that the koi is a safek chaya, safek behema. Now we'll come back and explain that. That's not so simple, because if I read this Gemara, I would have assumed that it's a birya bifnei atzma. The problem with koi is that it doesn't fit into either category. Here the person was makdish both his chayot and behemot, and koi doesn't fit into either of those categories. So therefore, it's possibly its own entity, and it's not covered by that. And that's according to Rabbi Lezer, who says he wasn't makdish, it is because the koi doesn't fit into either category. Whereas the chachamim would say that the koi is either a chaya or a behema. And therefore, fits into one of those categories, and that we don't know which one, but at least it fits in. But the Ran says, no, that a case here is a case where it's a safek. And we'll explain in 1 second. Mandamar, mimono, mayo, the safek, gufe nami mayo. The one who says that a person puts his mamon into a situation of safek will also put himself into that same safek. Uman damar mamono lo mild is feka. And one other one says that a person who has a safek will not put his mamon into such a position. Hufe koshke lo mild is feka. Then certainly he will not put himself into that position. So here, when you have a case by koi, which is mamon be safek, whether he's makdishit or not, chamim say that he kdishit a koi. So over there, if you can put your money in the position of safek and it goes through and it takes effect, then certainly, in our Mishnah as well, where you're talking about Stam Nidarim Lachmir, when he puts himself into that position of Safek, we assume that the interpretation is Lachmir, and that he intends for the Neder to become effective. Never will interpret it to be Lachmir. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says by the Koi, which is a Safek, that it does not take effect, then by Nizirut, he'll be the author of the Mishnah there, that says that Stam Nizirut is Lakel, because if you can't get your money in a position of Safek to become effective in terms of Ekdesh, then certainly the person themselves will not make themselves or put themselves in a position where the Safek will become effective in terms of their Neder Nizirut. Now Tosafot over here explains that when it was a makdish, chayoto ubemto, two ways to interpret that, and that again goes back to what we discussed yesterday. This could be a vav hachiluk or vav hachibur. Does that mean that he was makdish either as chayot or as behemot? Or does that mean that he was makdish both as chayot and behemot? Those two things. Perusha riva, demayir de makdish chayoto o behemto. The case where he is makdish either one. So now we understand why the Ran's interpretation in that case, that a koi is a safek chayas, safek behemot, does not get covered by the neder. Because the fact that it's a safek, it's not covered because he only put one in place. He was either makdish as chayot or as behemot, and therefore koi is left out. And that's what their argument. The Tanakama, the chaya, velo le behema. That the Tanakama believes that when he meant the chaya, he meant a chaya, not a behema. Aval, imigdish nehem, but if he's makdish both of them, I feel Rabbi Lezer molded the kadosh miman of shach. Meaning this is like what the Ran said, that they think it's a safek chaya and behema. But because he used an or statement, the question is, when he used that or statement, did he mean either or, and a koi is left out because of the safek? Or, the Tanakama mean that, Mikol makom is mekadesh misafek. Both of them agree that it's or. The Rabbi Lezer says, well, if it's or, then certainly a koi is not included because it's safek chaya safek behema. The Tanakama says that when he said chaya, he meant all chayot plus any safek chaya. Included as safek chaya in that. So that's how he reads it. On the other hand, he says, lechein nivra d'ri, brings some questions on that position and says, the pligi b'chol inyan, that they argue, ben ikdish et shnehem, ben lo ikdish el achad mehem. Doesn't matter if it's and or, Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim disagree. That means that Rabbi Lezer will disagree even in the case where you said and. The Tanakama sovar dimikdish echad mehem kadosh misafek, vimikdish shnehem kadosh bivadai. If you involve meant or, then it's misafek, he is kadosh. If you said and, for sure it is kadosh. Rabbi Lezer sovar dimikdish shnehem lekdish deintator lechaya behema vadai. Because even though he's makdish both of them, and it should cover the koi over here because it is a chaya or a behema, nevertheless, it doesn't, because when he said chaya, he meant real chayot. When he said behema, he meant real behemot. He won't enter himself into this safek. Again, the simpler interpretation of this would be that they're arguing about whether a koi is a birya b'fnei atzma or a safek chaya and behema. And that would mean that in this instance where he said and, in the case where he said and, the Tanakhama says it works because it's a safek chaya or behema. And Rabbi Lezer says it doesn't work because it's a birya b'fnei atzma. Obviously, our Gemara does not interpret it that way, because our Gemara talks about safek all the way through. So therefore, that's why you see here the Ran saying that it's a case of safek chayam behema, and you see the Tosafot clarifying as to the difference of opinions as to whether that's only in a case where he did either or it's even in a case where he did both of them, do they disagree? But in both instances, the Tanakhama believes that the safek is subsumed under the word chayam, or behema, or chayam behema, and Rabbi Lezer says it's not subsumed. That when you say the word chayam behema, you mean vadai. And therefore, their interpretation of Nedarim will also follow in that same manner. That in a case where it's a safek, the Tanakhama or the Chachamim will believe that it's included in your statement. And Rabbi Lezer will say it's not included in your statement, because your statement was only if it was absolutely clear, not if there was any safek associated with that. Okay, we're going to stop here on the top, on the first line on the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph.